You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What's the update on the woman that they're looking for down in the southeast?
She's crazy. She's armed, she's dangerous, and she's hot.
Have you seen her as a man?
Is that one of her disguises?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a picture of her as with short hair and a ball cap on as well.
No way.
Yeah.
Where is this?
The woman, her name escapes me at the moment. She
Florida. Please.
She goes by like 100,000 different aliases. And
Jessica showed up in like four of them. So we'll just call her Jessica.
Yeah.
The sheriff even said, turn yourself in, Jessica, Erica,
whatever,
Charlene,
whatever you're going by today.
Whatever name you're using today.
Yeah, she is. She allegedly killed someone because they annoyed her or something.
Isabel Rose Johnson?
Yeah,
it's one of the names.
Jessica?
Mm-hmm.
A multi-state manhunt is underway for that woman.
Killed 38 years old.
Husband and father of two. They upped the reward yesterday to $16,000, which for as armed and dangerous as they claim her to be, I feel like that's on the low end. But
well, it's Walton County, Florida, so
she uses disguises and multiple identities.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I was watching a news story about her this morning. They showed one picture where she has short hair.
Oh, yeah.
And a baseball cap on.
I'm looking at it right here, a Nike ball cap.
Yep.
You would not know that that was her.
And one, she shaved the side of her head and dressed like a man.
She looks like she's just through. She's had enough. That's what it looks like.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that it is harder to stay hidden as a man than it is as a woman. If you are on the run, I think it's easier to be on the run as a woman.
Why?
Because she has long, flowing brown hair. And if she chops that off and dyes it blonde, that is a significant change in her appearance. If you're just a dude with salt and pepper hair and you dye your hair, you're still the dude with the same hair.
What if you are shaven, but you grow a beard and shave your head? That completely changes your look.
Not as much as it does if you're a woman.
I also feel like people look at men as a greater threat. So if there's a most wanted nationwide manhunt being put out for a dude, everyone's going to be like, I got to be on the lookout for that guy.
She's
for a
five.
Chick, and we're just like, what? It's a woman?
If you saw her, let's say you worked in a drive-thru, and she came through your drive-thru and asked for a cup of coffee. What? She just looks like a normal woman.
Well, but you said yesterday you thought she was good looking.
She is.
From 5'3",
120 pounds.
Yes, Sam?
It's easier to find a man in a manhunt because it's called a manhunt.
Fair point.
Okay.
Fair point.
Thank you, Dexter.
That
appreciate
is
that.
A fair point.
How come they never have a woman hunt? It's never a woman hunt.
Because we don't go around killing people with the frequency that men do.
What?
I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Say that to Jessica. Isabella.
I know.
Or
Charlene.
Her victim.
Yeah.
Alleged victim.
So there are like 5 other people have been arrested and charged as accessory after the fact in connection to this guy's death.
That is
death.
Correct. Yep.
43-year-old Jason Coulthart.
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
They all look like winners.
No, Jason Coulthart, I think, was the victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This sounds like a true Florida crime.
Oh, this will be a Dateline, multiple episodes of Dateline.
Why do we always find it fascinating?
When it's a woman?
No, not necessarily, but I think that is an interesting component of this story. But the we can't find you, where are you stories are fascinating. And not that I hope she doesn't. I do hope that she does get the justice that they say is owed her. But have you ever wanted the manhunt to go on longer and longer just because of the storyline?
Well, I mean, remember the manhunt with the sheriff's deputy female who they both had the same name? Was it Casey, I think, who fell in love with the really tall guy and they were on the lam for weeks.
Both had the last name White, not
That's
related.
Right. That's right. Right. I think America is fascinated by the fugitive.
They love a good cat and mouse game.
I was really rooting, I mean, not actually, but rooting for the guy who dove off the Table Rock Bridge. I mean, that takes some gusto.
It was a perfect 10. Did they find him, by the way?
Oh, they got him
very
that night.
Quickly, yeah.
They got him that night. Have you seen his mugshot?
No.
Oh, he is smiling ear to ear.
Oh, my God.
With dripping wet.
Yeah, and he's got a cut on the side of his head.
Well, he had to hit the water at, face first, he went swan dive down.
But it wasn't, the water wasn't that far underneath the bridge. I mean, it was probably
the best part of that
15
story
feet.
Wasn't even him jumping. It was the sheriff's deputy that just went, "We're going to need an ambulance." No. He jumped.
He goes, call the water patrol.
He jumped. Just sounds so hell.
You know he was 15 minutes from getting off.
Yeah, he was done with
duty
his shift
for the night. And
this is going to involve paperwork. We have a jumper.
We're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, I'm guaranteed to be home in 20 minutes. Oh, shoot.
I'm reading through this Florida murder manhunt thing, and I'm wondering, what did this Jason Coulthard do, possibly?
He annoyed her, apparently. Are you blaming the victim?
I'm not blaming
in a murder?
Anybody. I'm just wondering.
It's because she's good looking. That's
I'm
why.
Just wondering what the motive is.
From the text line, Luigi Mangione.
There's a great one. There is a great example.
Okay, but only in that case, because it is so hard to believe that you could do something like that in the busiest, most surveilled city in the world and just hop on a bike or walk away from it. With that one, it wasn't as much, was he going to get away with it? Because it was so awful what he did. It was more like, how does this happen?
Well, and keep in mind, the fandom that was or became of Luigi Mangione didn't even start until he had been arrested.
That's true. And then that picture of him, like, whatever it was, hiking in Hawaii with his shirt off went viral because everybody was like, oh, he's hot.
Yeah. I still think that there is a chance that he is not convicted of murder. I still think he will be convicted of something. I'm not convinced it's murder.
I think he gets convicted and gets out on appeal.
All right. I stumbled upon this list. It's a couple years old, but I think it still qualifies. This is the list. It's from Rolling Stone magazine.
Okay.
The top 10 best lead singers of a band. So
it's got to be like... Well, it can't be the Beatles because there was no, I mean, well, there was Paul. You mean like the frontman?
Not necessarily the frontman. There could be multiple singers in a band. Okay. Kiss, for example, they're not in the top 10, but Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley did most of the singing, but there is at least one band on here that has more than one singer.
Okay. I guess one?
Okay, but let me give you a couple of hints real quick. Keep in mind, these are lead singers of bands. So, for example, Prince, Michael Jackson,
solo artists.
They can't make the list. And the list runs from the 60s to pretty much the modern era. But there are some older front men on the list. Go ahead. Top 10.
Don Henley with the Eagles.
No, did not make the top 10.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury is number 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
Steve Perry
did not make the top 10, but great guess. Yep. This is a poll of Rolling Stone readers. Okay.
Okay, so it can't be Paul McCartney.
It is not Paul McCartney.
Oh, is John Lennon on there?
Number 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that you're right. You can't look at it like frontman, just singer in a band.
Correct.
What about
all the others are singers and there's no other singer in their band. The Beatles is the only one that came in with multiple singers.
Like Stevie Nicks?
No.
This is going to be hard.
Let me give you another hint. There are no females in the top 10.
Sexist.
What?
You're
missing some really odd. I mean, these are big bands.
Rolling Stone.
Okay.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger is number 4.
Lionel Richie.
No.
I don't know that I would consider Mick Jagger to have a beautiful singing voice. It's iconic.
Again, this is a reader poll.
Okay. Tell us on the text line.
I was going to say, I'm struggling because I can't think of the lead singers' names and bands. So I'm going to hit you with Doobie Brothers.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Michael McDonald. Yes.
Multiple lead singers in that band.
Okay.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No. Golly, all right. I'm going to put you guys out of your misery.
This is tough.
Number 10. Again, this is a reader's poll. Kurt Cobain is number 10.
Oh, yeah.
Number 9, Chris Cornell.
Oh, yeah.
Number 8, John Lennon.
Okay.
Number 7, Eddie Vedder. Number 6, Roger Daltrey.
Wait,
from
what?
That's how he sings.
Okay.
there.
He made the top 10.
Who? Eddie Vedder? Roger Daltrey from The Who is number 6.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison from The Doors is number 5. Mick Jagger, 4. Bono is number 3.
Of course.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury is number 2.
Oh.
And number 1.
Steven Tyler.
Ooh.
No, but that's a great guess.
Axl Rose.
Nope.
No, God.
Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
an interesting list.
Well, it seems like it's a specific rock and roll
very singer specific
list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. 913-586-7798. Hey, Foster Adopt Connect helps kids in foster care and the families who care for them navigate one of the toughest journeys that a child can face. It's more than just paperwork. This is trauma-informed support, community advocacy, real help when it's needed the most. And that's why KMBZ and Pinnacle Bank are proud to partner with Foster Adopt Connect's school supply drive. The need is real. A new backpack is just the beginning. You can learn more about their important work and make a donation if you can. Just go to KMBZ.com. Look for the school supply link on our homepage, and together we can give kids a strong start to the school year.
You know, I always say that if you're a horrible, horrible person and there's something in your past that you need to atone for, the clock is ticking because the technology is getting better. There was a very, very cold case, 14 years cold in Arlington, Texas. And in this case, very, very sad. A woman was stabbed more than 100 times.
Ooh, that's rage.
Police had nothing to go on. They had a tiny DNA sample that did not belong to the victim. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they had nothing to go on. And when they ran that DNA through the crime database, they got no hits. So whoever is responsible had never been arrested or convicted of a violent crime because your DNA would go into the system, right? Mm-hmm. So this goes on for years. They do not know who killed this poor woman. Now they do. I tell you, a female's been stabbed 100 times, and you immediately said rage.
Correct.
They don't know who this person is. They don't have a composite sketch. They don't have anything. What, with all of your years' experience, would this type of crime tell you, if you had to guess?
Either a crime of passion or jealousy.
Yep.
Because to stab somebody that many times, they're already dead, and yet you keep stabbing them.
Yep.
This is pure anger, rage, hatred. It's going to be somebody who was close to her, either a family member that perceived a slight, a horrible slight, or a former lover.
When 32-year-old Iracema Chavez was found dead, I think most people assumed it was a man who killed her. And it turns out they were wrong.
Well, women can have rage too.
They have arrested a woman and charged now 42-year-old Myra Velasquez with capital murder. And do you know some of the technology that led to her arrest? This is the stuff I'm fascinated with. You know it.
So it was not 23andMe then, is what you're saying.
It was not.
Okay, what was it?
They took the DNA profile and they gave it to a company who believes they can give police a general idea of what you look like by just looking at your DNA.
Hmm.
Look up the technology.
What's it called?
Fascinating. So it's called Parabon Nanolabs.
Parabon.
Nanolabs. Yep. And their other police departments have done this, Scott. They took the DNA to Parabon Nanolabs and said, can you create a prediction of the suspect's physical appearance just based on your blood? So if you've done 23andMe, you guys, you know that it knows all kinds of things when you pop your DNA in there. It knows whether or not you like cilantro. It knows whether your middle toe is shorter or longer than your other toes. It knows weird things just based on your blood. So it turns out our DNA can also give scientists an idea of what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, they give the DNA of the unknown assailant. And we will post this on this on the socials. It spits out this composite of an attractive woman, hair parted down the center, long brown hair, beautiful eyes, a perfectly symmetrical face shape. When you compare the composite with what this woman looks like, it is jarring. It is jarring how close the composites have been. And there are other cases when you look it up, Scott, with men who they have a DNA sample, mm-hmm. but they don't know who it is. And it turns out they can't just use this, obviously. You have to use this. Like, let's say they had a list of 10 suspects.
Yeah.
You know, and one of them was a short, rotund, blonde woman. The DNA in this case suggested this was a woman, Hispanic.
Which they would have known anyway through the DNA. All right, so I'm looking at some of their composite.
Come on.
No, I hear you. What I'm saying is I'm looking at a page full of images of their composite sketch based
versus
on someone,
the real person.
Versus the mugshot yeah. or an actual photo of that
person. Because you're guessing on hair length. You know, you're guessing on hair length.
And with the men on some of them, facial hair, period, whether they had a full beard. One guy, they sketched it as being clean shaven. His mugshot, he had a beard. And while they are dangerously close,
oh, it's close.
In some of them, there are some obvious big misses. So they do get it close enough to be dangerous in some cases, and in others, it is a swing and a miss.
How bad?
Let me give you an example of one here in just a minute. Like this one.
Because there's one guy, you guys, that killed two women. You know, the worst of the worst of the worst.
There's one that I think doesn't look anything like the guy.
I do, if he didn't have facial hair.
Well, it's just a man of Middle Eastern descent.
You guys, remember that game we used to play called Guess Who? Where you are a person and they've got all these little tabs of the people and what they look like. The composites kind of look like a loose representation of that game we played as children called Guess Who.
Okay, here's one.
Not like cartoonish per se.
That one's a swing and a miss.
The photo Scott showing me, you guys, he does have jowls. And he does have jowls. Like a bulldog, look.
They get the, well.
But that would narrow it down. Okay,
guess what else they both have in those pictures? Noses.
We're looking for a 50-year-old white man with very creased, what do you call this part of your mouth right here? Very indented, creased.
Smile wrinkles.
Jowls.
Okay, but.
So that would narrow down. Like, Sam, it's not you. You don't have that.
But Dana, look at the shape of the composite's eyes and, more importantly, the lips. Not even close.
Okay, they did get that wrong. I'm not saying this is an end-all be-all. If you had a list of suspects and one of them was the boyfriend, but you could never quite prove it, right. And this company spits out a sketch and it's, we know this person has blonde hair and blue eyes.
Okay, now here's one that they got really close, I would argue.
Oh, that's the same guy.
Okay. So, like I said, there are some that are really close, some that are just complete hit and miss. Let me see if I can find another really good one in here. I would argue that this one is a miss. The jawline is completely different from their composite to the actual photograph, and they used a driver's license photograph in this one.
I'm not saying that police just off to the races with this. I'm saying if you are a serial murderer or rapist, there will come a day that we are no longer wondering who these people are. We're mm-hmm. almost there. We're not quite there with Jowls guy, but it's close.
Yeah, you would agree, though, this is totally inadmissible. This is just one more step.
If I was a reporter, you know what I would do? I would take my blood sample and I would take it to Parable Nano Labs and I wouldn't tell them who I was. And I would just say, make me a composite of this person. Right. And it's me, right?
Right.
And then let's see what they spit out and how close it looks like to me. And maybe it does and maybe it doesn't.
Well, didn't you do something similar to that with driver's licenses or something in Topeka?
Yes.
What was that? Refresh my memory.
So every single person listening has a doppelganger.
I thought you said 7 doppelgangers one time.
Oh, there's some. And overnight at the Department of Revenue, they had a computer system that would just run all of the driver's licenses through a database, like lightning fast.
Okay.
And then in the morning, a technician would come in and it will spit out the quote matches. to see if you are using different aliases and the same face, you know, for one of them was a human trafficking ring. One of them had something to do with like bringing women over here and forced servitude kind of thing.
Gross, but okay.
Yes, and it would spit out, and they put my face through it, the people in the state of Kansas who look like me.
How close did they look like
you? One woman was pretty close, but for the story, we ran four or five different people that I just know, and some of them were shockingly similar.
Like God had run out of ideas, and so he made two people that looked almost identical.
Yeah, like there's another, even, you know, in the photograph, there's another Scott Parks out there.
And his name is Bill Murray.
Some of them were crazy. Like one woman I remember lived in Wichita, and then her doppelganger came up in like, I don't know, pick your Mission, Kansas. Nowhere, you know, geographically not that close.
Yeah.
They look so much alike. All I remember is she was brunette, kind of had a longer face, that if they ran into each other at the grocery store, they would do a double take.
You're right, Scott. We all have seven doppelgangers.
Is that how I remember it? Yeah. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So we're going to travel just a little bit south of Kansas City, and we're going to swing into Bates County, Missouri. Story here from Channel 9, where the Missouri State Auditor has released a new report on the Bates County Sheriff's Office, accusing the sheriff of wasting public resources, Dana and Sam.
I think it'd be better if we galloped into Bates County.
The sheriff says he strongly disagrees with many of the opinions in the auditor's report. Mm-hmm. Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick rated the sheriff's office as poor, its lowest rating possible.
The lowest rating.
Fitzpatrick said that Sheriff Chad Anderson used taxpayer funds to create and maintain a mounted patrol, hold rodeo events, throw parties, and fund a nonprofit sheriff's posse.
Okay. I'd like to zero in, if you will, on the horses. There are 16,000 people in Bates County. Is that right, Sam?
That is correct. Yeah, 16,000.
Just south of Harrisonville.
Assuming they didn't get any federal funding, they each contributed $11 to the alleged misspending.
16,000 people. Okay. Kansas City had a mounted posse program. Then they got rid of it. Then there was talk of bringing it back. And one of the things I remember about that very robust debate was that horses are extremely expensive to buy. They are extremely expensive to keep and care for. Mm-hmm. And there is a very limited use for the horses, even when you're out searching for someone who's missing, where drones can now do a lot of that work better. Mm-hmm. It's good for the Royals Parade, where you need to have an officer high up on a horse that can kind of see down.
Yeah.
And it's good for PR. The kids like it during the 4th of July or whatever. But Kansas City, Missouri is a huge place. Bates County, again, 16,000 people. The mounted patrol units cost $110,000.
Do you want to guess the names of some of the horses? I know of at least three.
Ed.
Nope. Bandit.
Okay.
Duck.
Duck. Okay.
And Tater.
So they got three horses for a county with 16,000 people in it. The sheriff's posse cost almost $17,000. Rodeos and community events, $23,000. Donations to private organizations, not from, donations to $23,000. And holiday parties, $4,300. When you look at just the horses, $42,000 here, $53,000 to board them there, $15,000 horse trailer to have it wrapped with the logo of the sheriff's department.
It's got to be wrapped.
Oh.
Listen to this. They got three horses for all of that money, and they attended 24 events. Eight parades, six tractor shows, four rodeos, four fun horse shows, and one family fun day.
And the auditor noted that they were rarely, if ever, used for actual law enforcement duties.
The unit provided crowd or traffic control. Not one time. Not one time did the unit do crowd or traffic control. And auditors said the unit performed only one search and rescue.
Save a horse, ride a
Come on, you guys. I love horses. I don't have anything against horses. But you can't spend all that money to go on six parades. They didn't even find a single missing person. At least pretend to find someone missing if you're going to have the horses.
How does one pretend to find someone missing?
He's hitting on something over here.
The horse.
Not one.
It's like a basset hound?
Missing person. Not one.
Rescue horses.
Red's got something, boys.
Quoting here.
How do they mark when they found something? Nay.
The kids in our community want to pet a horse. They come up. They talk to the officers. They are building relationships, and it's one of the best community policing tools I have had. Quoting there from the sheriff.
Do you disagree? I bet it is a nice tool to use for community relations. The question becomes, where is this money coming from and why is it being spent? Here's the problem.
Well, there's a lot of problems here.
Anybody who has been in government service will tell you this. Money is allocated, okay?
Yeah.
In fact, one of my dad's jobs when he was in the Army, one time, he was tasked with finding waste and abuse in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had that job for 25 years.
Oh, sure.
You know, this was just one time. But anyway, he told me one time, with government agencies, i.e. the Army, or in this case, Bates County, you're allocated X number of dollars.
Okay.
Okay? If you don't spend X number of dollars,
you lose
the next year when you put in a budget request, they're going to say, now, wait a minute, and I'll use a simple number. You're only requesting you're requesting $100 for your department, but last year you only spent $75.
So there's an incentive to spend it.
If you're at a government agency, you either spend it or lose it.
But at $150,000 for horses that, by the way, I'll get to this in a moment, kept dying, they could have hired how many officers? Five?
I have no idea how many they could have hired, but they could have hired.
The report raised concerns about the age and condition of the horses purchased. Several were bought from a low-grade livestock pen and were already in poor health. Two of them, Clementine and Stetson, were euthanized right after they bought them. A third, Hank, was euthanized in 2025.
Hank died? Huh. Back to my point. This is what's wrong with government. If you give it to them, they will spend it because the incentive is to spend it or never get it again. That's what's wrong with government, among other things. So you hand the sheriff, you know, and I'm not saying this sheriff in particular, I don't know. He claims that they did nothing wrong and put out a 10-minute video refuting the auditor's claims. So I'm not talking about Sheriff Anderson here, okay? Sheriff Y in County B, you give them $100,000, they're going to spend $100,000.
Yeah.
Or next year they don't get $100,000.
How about we get a horse that doesn't have to be euthanized in a year?
Well, that would be nice. Tater didn't get
During
euthanized.
The audit period, the posse was deployed to aid in only one search and rescue mission and was not otherwise used for any documented law enforcement activity.
Okay. So what do you do with the horses now? You own them.
I don't know,
Scott.
You
sell them?
Because it turns out they're also not search and rescue certified. They weren't searching and rescuing as much as they were just sniffing around the premise. I mean, my God.
If they were doing search and rescue, those would be a special kind of horse.
Correct.
Tater found some blood. Wait, it's
the kind that knows how to search and rescue. Maybe they didn't perform any search and rescues because the horses don't know how to search and rescue.
No, I don't think horses have ever known how to search and rescue.
They can if they're trained.
Very quickly, let me update this story from yesterday. I don't want to do this at the tail end of the hour because you're going to say, no more talk about death or murders or blah, blah, blah. Remember the story yesterday of the French modeling scout who funneled girls allegedly to Jeffrey Epstein?
I'm not saying allegedly, he's dead.
Daniel Syed is his name.
Yep.
And he was recently found dead in his apartment not far from Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the story from the Wall Street Journal. Syed, he's the modeling scout who allegedly funneled girls to Jeffrey Epstein. Syed also recruited models for Jean-Luc Brunel, a French modeling agent and close associate of Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
Brunel, close associate of Jeffrey Epstein, was found hanged in his Paris prison cell in 2022.
Okay, if they're all pedophiles, it's possible that they took that way out.
All of them?
It's not as damning as this missing scientist.
Hmm.
Which, by the way, that's just gone away. Is anyone still searching for those people?
Oh, I wonder why it's gone away. Oh, look, UFOs!
What have you just done?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I should never do that 10 minutes before we're out.
Oh, Epstein files. UFOs! We have files!
On a serious note, Sam, what has happened to the missing scientists?
Exactly what we're discussing right now. Absolutely dang nothing.
Nothing.
They're still missing. And
none have been found.
Nothing
he
to
should
see
send
here.
The Bates County horses to see
on
what
on
a search and rescue.
You said Tater and Duck.
It's so weird. They didn't find anything.
Let's double the efforts. We'll send two horses.
Okay. UFOs.
Epstein. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Steve the Third. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, if you miss a segment, make sure that you check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Story here from CBS News, just some headlines to report real quick before we head out before the 6 o'clock news. Vance Belter, the man who admitted in court to shooting two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses, was sentenced to two life terms in prison today, followed by another 40 years. The judge said it was, quote, the longest sentence I have imposed after hearing thousands of cases over the years, but it is well-deserved. Today happened to be Vance Belter's 59th birthday. And he learned today he will be spending the rest of his life in prison.
Bye.
Where he belongs.
Happy birthday.
The Disney company has unleashed a fresh bloodbath across its entertainment empire, with Pixar taking a major hit despite the blockbuster success of Toy Story 5.
Yeah, what the heck?
Did you ever go see Toy Story 5?
I have not yet. We're probably just going to stream it. But I cannot wait to see it.
The Disney company announcing several hundred layoffs earlier this week and its third round of cuts this year, affecting Disney Entertainment, Television, ESPN, and the Disney Studios. Pixar's Emeryville Animation Studio was the hardest hit, with the New York Post reporting that roughly 116 employees were laid off. Many of the Pixar cuts were concentrated in production and operations and reflected the studio's current slate of projects. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
AI.
Really?
Maybe.
They're dumping their production team. They're banking on the idea that fewer people can just tell AI what to do to create their masterpieces. And we have fallen a long way in animation, if that's the case. I'm just guessing, but that's the only way that makes sense.
How long, you know, I know we've basically gone 4 hours today without even mentioning AI, but it's hard not to in the world that we currently live in. How long before one of us on this show gives in and goes and sees...
No.
No. I haven't even finished. A movie, not goes and sees, or even... watches it from your home that is either AI developed or AI written or AI acted. How long?
I
need not remind you there is, and sorry for the interruption, Sam, there is a movie that is either out now or coming out.
With her in it.
With Val Kilmer in it.
He agreed to that. I wish he had not.
With the permission of Val Kilmer and his family, he makes an appearance. I think he's a Catholic priest in this movie. He is not in it and never filmed a scene for that movie.
I think that you'd be surprised by how much is already using AI.
I agree, Sam. I think the scripts, absolutely. I agree. I think a lot of that is already AI'd. Like, you can have a concept for a movie, and then do you ask a computer help you write it?
Well, that's all you need is a concept. I mean, with AI music, and we've played that one guy whose name escapes me at the moment because he's not a real guy.
Breaking Rust.
Who's Breaking Rust?
It's the fake.
That's the band name.
Oh. Well, no, there was that one guy, and I remember playing the song. He has a name. Eddie something or other, or Edward something or other. And the song actually charted. Charted.
People listened to it. It was catchy.
Is this it?
Yes.
This is Breaking Rust, Walk My Walk, and it did hold the number one spot on the country charts when it was released.
And there's not a single real human on this song. Is that correct?
Mr. Breaking Rust does not exist.
Huh. Sounds like a great song that I will never listen to again after you stop playing it tonight.
Well, but if you were in the car and you heard it, would you not be like, eh?
Probably.
It's all right.
Birthdays today. Woody Harrelson is 65. Alison Krauss is 55. On behalf of our producer today, finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another.
Oh, that's good night. Catchy. I hate it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.